We are going to continue in Bible reading now as John comes and leads us in Bible reading.
Our Bible reading comes today from John 14, 25 to 31. And I'm reading from the New International Version. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come, now let us leave.
Thank you, John. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Let me add my welcome to those who are new here today. Welcome. My name is Dylan. If you haven't met me before, I'm the pastor of the church, and we'd love to get to know you over morning tea today. So please do join us downstairs for morning tea. Let me pray before we come to God's word today, shall we? Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for your word, which we just read. We thank you for this season, which reminds us of Jesus, who came to this world. Lord, who came with a mission to reconcile us back to you. So, Father, help us to trust him. Help us to know how to live as followers and witnesses of Jesus today. And we ask this in his name. Amen. So, over the past few weeks, if you have or have not been with us, we have been thinking about what it means to be followers and witnesses of Jesus. And this is part of our mission statement. Well, you can remind me, what is our church mission? If you're here for a long time, what is our church mission statement? Not just that, there's a bit more to that. Guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, our mission is to glorify God by being followers and witnesses of Jesus. So we've been thinking about that. Followers and witnesses of Jesus. Last week, if you were here, we talked about love. Followers of Jesus are those who have received God's love and those who pass it on to others. This week, we're going to think about the theme of peace from John chapter 14. Verses 25 to 31, the passage that we read. We're not going to go through the whole passage, just a couple of verses. Now, peace is something the whole world is wishing for, isn't it? If you ask anyone, they'd say, I wish peace for the whole world. According to International Committee for Red Cross, currently there are 120 armed conflicts around the world. There are conflicts between countries, between people groups, between political parties, between religious groups. Then there are conflicts between families, between friends, within families. Now perhaps conflict is not so much out there this morning. Conflict might be just inside us. We are troubled. We are restless and confused. We don't have peace in our own hearts. And this was certainly the case for the disciples, the followers of Jesus on this day when Jesus was talking to them, which we read in John chapter 14. At this special meal, Jesus has just broken the news that he's going to go away. He's going to leave them soon. He's not going on holiday. No, he's going to actually die on a cross. And in this journey, he has told his disciples, his friends, a close follower would actually betray him. One of his best friends, Peter, would actually deny knowing him. And all of his friends will actually abandon him. Jesus will be arrested, he will suffer and be killed on a cross. And the disciples are troubled here, they're confused, they're afraid, and they don't know what to do because they couldn't understand and they don't have any peace in their hearts. So into this context, Jesus says these words, right? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Now if you look at a couple of chapters later, chapter 16 in John's book, verse 33, he says the same thing. It says, and we realize that this peace is not something devoid of conflicts or trouble. It is not kind of a tranquility which avoids all conflicts or trouble, right? Jesus says, I have told you all these things so that in me you will have peace. And if they missed it, he clarifies, you know, guys, in this world you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So what is this peace that Jesus is talking about? What is this peace that he is offering his disciples? And what are we going to do with this peace that he offers his followers? And that's what we're going to think about this morning. In the Bible, there are three dimensions of peace, isn't there? Peace with God, peace with one another, and inner peace. Peace within ourselves. So we're going to explore a bit more of these three dimensions of peace this morning. Peace between us and God. Peace with God. And this is the first dimension that Jesus talks about. Between us and God. This vertical peace. One of the big problems of humanity is not climate change, not gender inequality, not the rising cost of living, not gun violence or hunger. The biggest problem of humanity is, friends, is that we don't have peace with God. Back in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, when our first parents disobeyed God who created them, the whole humanity declared war against God. And ever since we have been enemies with God, haven't we? We have displaced God from our lives, worshipped idols, we have worshipped ourselves. We have sinned. And we are all born with a broken relationship with God. And we are destined for God's wrath. And to this, The Bible promises that God would send a Messiah, a Savior, who is the Prince of Peace. That He would mediate peace between us and God. See, this was the mission, the reason why Jesus came, right? This is the reason why Jesus is leaving the disciples on this day. To die on a cross. To take the punishment for our sins, for our rebellion, to purchase peace by His own blood. The Apostle Paul writes to the Roman church these words. He says, those who have been justified by faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, now enjoys peace with God. See, we are no longer called enemies or rebels of God. No, we are called sons and daughters. We are called friends of God. And this is the peace that invites us to approach God with confidence, so that we might find grace in times of need. We can come to God anytime, anywhere, and call on Him as our Abba Father, because we know that He won't reject us. It is this peace that dispels the fear of death, isn't it, in us? Because we know that God has forgiven our sins and He is waiting to welcome us into His kingdom. Friends, in this world, there's no other peace that is so important, so valuable than having peace with God. And Jesus gives that peace to us, peace with God. And the second dimension of peace is this horizontal aspect of peace, isn't it? The peace with one another. Peace with one another. You see, again, back in the book of Genesis, you'll remember when people disobeyed God, the relationship between God and us was broken, but also relationship between husband and wife, man and woman, was broken too. They blamed each other, they lost respect, the love for one another, lost the care for one another. And just as our sin makes God and us enemies, so also sin makes each of us enemies of each other. We hurt. We abuse. We degrade and made people made in the image of God. See, the root cause of all conflicts, whether it is international conflicts or domestic violence or conflicts between friends and family is sin, isn't it? Rejection of God. Rejection of God. How do we see each other as God's image bearers if we have rejected God and His word? So when Jesus died on the cross, He brings peace between us and God, but also He brings peace between one another. The Apostle Paul writes to a very divided church in Ephesus in the first century, and he says, Jesus Himself became our peace. Christ's death has broken down this wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles, people who couldn't worship together. Jesus not only brings us into God, but He brings us into the church, right? To the family of God. Paul continues, because of that, we are no longer strangers or foreigners. No, we are fellow citizens with God's people and members of His household. You see that? That's why people from different nations and backgrounds today can worship God together. Because God has broken down that barrier. We have become brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I'm not so naive to say like we are all getting along well today. Right? Just because we are brothers and sisters in Christ doesn't mean there are no conflicts. There are no disagreements in the church. We disagree. We hurt each other. We disappoint. We say and write wrong things that we regret. We are not gracious to one another at our best times. Our attitudes and our pride get in the way of peace. You see, yes, we are saved by grace, but by no means we are perfect, are we? Yet, for some of us, there's a long way to go. I have a long way to go. So don't come to church expecting that you will find perfect people here, because you'll be very, very, very disappointed. But this is the work that God has begun in us, hasn't he? The work of transforming us into the image and the likeness of Jesus. So when we become followers of Jesus, expect change. Expect God to change you. Expect God to change people around you. Because he will enable us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Love our enemies. He'll enable us to forgive others. He will enable us to treat others with dignity. Put the needs of others before ours. He'll enable us to let go of grievances, because Jesus brings peace with one another. And the third dimension of peace is peace within ourselves, isn't it? The inner peace. And I think this is the primary peace that Jesus is talking about in this chapter that we read, this passage that we read this morning. In this moment of grief, great distress, he wants them to have the peace he himself has now, Jesus. It is not devoid of trouble or pain. It is this peace, the personal serenity, the calmness in the middle of a storm. It is a peace that knows that God is good, he is faithful, and he's all powerful, and he's just, and he's merciful. It is a peace that knows that nothing happens without God's knowledge. He knows everything. He knows the past. He knows what's happening, what is right now. He knows the things that you don't know in your own heart. He knows what is going to happen in the future. It is a peace that comes from knowing that in God, God works in everything for the good of those who love him. God is at work in our circumstances. God is at work doing good for those who love him. It is a peace that comes from knowing that God never leave us nor forsake us. That he is going to be there till the end. It is a peace that comes from knowing that death is not the end. Death is not the end. See, Paul writes to the constant warrior in the Philippian church, and he says, you know what? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, because he assures when we do that, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm going to suggest this morning the peace that Jesus is referring to, the peace that he's saying, I'm going to give you my peace, the peace that he's going to leave with us, is a peace with God. Peace with one another and peace within us. And he continues, right? I do not give you this peace just like the world gives. Think about it. The peace the world gives is tied to something, isn't it? Tied to our circumstances, tied to maybe a holiday or a place that you think of, a beach or maybe, to a good night rest. It may be tied to good health. It may be tied to a good morning. It may be tied to a morning without children around. It may be tied to absence of annoying bosses or colleagues or friends. But I guess you see how fleeting, how transient this peace is, right? But the peace that Jesus gives is permanent. Why? It is eternal. Why? Because Jesus is eternal. It is His peace that He gives. And it is the peace that He purchased us on the cross by His own blood. And that's why He can boldly say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." Jesus gives us peace, friends. So in closing, I want to draw a few application points for us this morning. The first one is, if you don't have peace with God, make peace with God. Make every effort to find peace with God. You could be having all the peace that the world could offer you, but nothing is of any value if you are enemies with God of the universe. So please don't plan to leave this earth without having peace with your Maker, your Creator. Because that would be the most dreadful decision that you'd ever make. Leaving this earth without peace with God. I appeal you in the words of the Apostle Paul. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Have peace with God by believing in Jesus, who had no sin but became sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. For those of us who have peace with God, what are we to do? Be peace proclaimers. Be peace proclaimers. Paul says we are Christ's ambassadors, right, in the previous verse. Share this message of peace with people around you. This fundamentally call to share the good news of Jesus. To tell people the peace that they are so hard, so much looking for, is found only in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Be committed to do that. Be peace proclaimers. The second thing is, be peacemakers. Be peacemakers. Because Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers," right? For they will be called the children of God. I guess there are two aspects to this peacemaking. The first is we must be at peace with one another. Peace with one another. It means that you are the first one to ask forgiveness or offer forgiveness. Even if you have done the right thing. It may mean to turn the other cheek, walk the extra mile, because the reality is, friends, you will know this, when we journey together, we will rub the wrong way. We will hurt, we will upset, we will make people angry. But when that happens, we must be quick to reconcile with our brothers and sisters. And part of the problem is, I think, this is where we get stuck. We don't know how to resolve conflicts in a godly way. Now, some of you will remember a few months ago, we had Steph Shorts, Paul and Robin's daughter, who was here talking to some of our leaders. She was representing Peacewise, an organization committed to create cultures of peace in our local churches and in organizations. And she shared a framework with all of us who were there where we can use to deal with conflicts. And I found it really helpful. It's called 4 G's of peacemaking, or 4 G's of conflict resolution. I'm going to share a little bit about that. You can tell, stress that I share this. First, a commitment to glorify God. A commitment to glorify God in all our conflicts, in all our disagreements. Have a commitment to glorify God in our conversations, in our thinking, in our deliberation. Have a commitment to glorify God. How you respond to other people. Second, get the log out of your own eye. Get the log out of your own eye. Because have you ever tried clapping with one hand? You can't, right? We must ask God to show us, what part have I played in this conflict? Words, actions, attitudes. What have I contributed? And ask God to forgive, and ask God to give you the humility to admit those contributions. And third is gently restore. Gently restore. Now this is not to say go and confront someone. Meaning the word gently. This is to humbly and gently help the other person, the other party, to see how they have contributed to the conflict. The aim is not to condemn or judge or blame them. It is, the aim is restoration. Aim is to mend. Aim is to move forward. And finally, go and be reconciled. Go and be reconciled. See, Christians are the most forgiven people in the world, right? God has forgiven all our offenses, the things that we have done against Him. He still forgives us. And imagine God saying, you know what, I forgive you all. I don't want to do anything with you hereafter. I just forgive you. I hear this over and over again. I forgive that person, but I don't want to do anything with that person. We are the most forgiven people, but we are the most reluctant people to forgive our brothers and sisters, to offer the same forgiveness to others. Praise God, He doesn't say that, right? He doesn't say, all right, I forgive you, but I don't have to do anything with you. No, He still loves us. Forgiveness, friends, is the only way to move forward. Forgiveness is the only way to be reconciled fully. I think forgiveness is also the only way to find inner peace. Have you found yourself being angry at someone and it is eating you away? You can't sleep. You can't see people. You can't come to church. You can't worship God. You can't sit together. You can't eat together. Paul tells the church in Colossae, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. This is huge, isn't it? This is a huge call. This is not something that you and I can do on our own. It is a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual practice. It is a spiritual discipline. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's why this needs to be accompanied with prayer and Bible reading and help of mature Christians. The second way we can be peacemakers is getting involved in mending relationships or in mediating. And Kel does that quite well. Paul asks in the church in Philippi, he asked these two ladies who have been working so hard with him, but they have had a falling apart. Paul asked these two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, to be of the same mind, because they were disagreeing and they were fighting inside the church. But then he also is not naive. that these two ladies are going to work things out together. So what does he do? He asks a third party to get involved. His dear friend, we don't know who that is, but his dear friend, his yoke fellow, his true companion, to help these women. I guess for a pastor, one of the saddest things and the most concerning things is when people in a congregation fight and they're not dealing with conflict in a way that honors God. When you are mediating, when you are coming in between, you're not there to take people's sides, but to help people reconcile, restore relationships, to help them perhaps to use the four G's that we've talked about, to help them to walk through that. Because in the church, we must have a culture of peace. Peacemaking. We must be the champions who champion peace with one another. Because followers of Jesus are those who have peace, isn't it? Peace with God, peace with one another, and peace within. And we are not called then to just hoard this peace for ourselves and then keep it for us. No, we are called to share this peace, to give it out. Be peace proclaimers and be peacemakers. Now, I realize we've heard a lot this morning. There's a lot of content that we went through. So what might God be calling you to work on this morning, on the subject of peace? So I'm going to give you a few minutes to think, to pray perhaps, and respond wherever you are. What might God asking you to do this morning? So let's do that for a couple of minutes and then I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for this morning for Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who brought peace between us and you, who broke the dividing wall of hostility between us people, and who also gives us this peace that the world cannot understand, peace within us. And so, Father, we pray today the things that you have brought to our mind, areas that you want us to work, please help us through your Holy Spirit, so that, Father, as followers and witnesses of Jesus, that we will be people who have peace, but also who offers this peace to others. And we give you great thanks for the gift of peace. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Prince of Peace. Amen.